Well, these last several Wednesdays, we've been on the subject of praying in the Spirit, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to go over several of the scriptures about, we're going to go briefly about the benefits, and then we're going to go look in Acts, some examples. We did some of this last week. We're going to cover some of the same ground this evening. Romans 8:26. Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. The Bible says we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We went over that some. There is groanings in the Spirit, but there is also, it brings out the concept of just unction or groanings which cannot be uttered in articulate speech, what you would be your normal tongue. And so this covers being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues as well. It says, verse 27, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. When we're praying in other tongues, we are making the Spirit of God is by our Spirit. Through our Spirit, He is praying. We pray, but it's by the Spirit that gives us unction and utterance. We pray out the will of God. Pray according to the will of God. And God knows everything. We don't know everything, do we? We don't know everything, but He does. And so we can yield to Him and pray. It says we don't know how to pray as we ought. We know how to pray. We know how to pray for some things, but we don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. And in every situation, you don't know exactly what's going on. You don't know necessarily you don't know what to pray for the future, but God does. And so praying, this is one of the ways we can pray those things out, is by praying in the Spirit, praying in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Notice, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. We pray out, we speak mysteries in the Spirit. We pray in other tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Our spirit prays. When we pray in other tongues, it's our spirit praying. But your understanding, your mind, is unfruitful. 1 Corinthians 14:14 in the Amplified says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me prays. But my mind is unproductive, it bears no fruit, and it helps nobody. So it's our spirit praying by the Holy Spirit. This is important because people get the idea that the Holy Spirit is just going to take them over and pray. Well, God doesn't do that. The devil tries to do that, but God will not take over a person. He's not going to make us speak with other tongues. He's not going to take a hold of our vocal cords, but He will give us utterance. And we'll see that throughout some of the scriptures that we're going to be covering. 1 Corinthians 14:15, we already covered a lot of this more in more detail in the first two sessions. Just touched on it last week, we're touching on it this week. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit... Okay, sorry, we'll go to the next one. 1 Corinthians 14:15 says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding. I will pray, or I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with the understanding. So you can pray in the Spirit. You can pray with the understanding. You can pray through your spirit. You can pray out of your understanding, out of your mind. You can sing with your spirit. You can also sing with the understanding. 1 Corinthians 14:18 says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is emphasizing this. He says, I speak in tongues more than you all. Paul prayed in tongues. Paul wrote a good portion of the New Testament, and it's interesting, he prayed in other tongues a lot. Revelation came by that. Jude 20 through 21 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. It says, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Well, we saw earlier, praying in the Holy Spirit. Praying in other tongues, it also is building you up spiritually. It's like recharging a battery. Your spirit is being built up as you pray. This is an important part of praying in other tongues. It builds us up spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. That edifies means to build up or to construct, to confirm, to embolden. So when we're speaking in other tongues, we are building ourselves up. When you feel weak spiritually, a good thing to do is pray in other tongues. Pray in the Spirit. When you're distraught, a good thing to do, pray in other tongues. Pray in the Spirit. You're yielding to your spirit when you do that. You got to bypass your mind. Your flesh doesn't want to speak in tongues. So when you pray in other tongues, you are yielding to your spirit. Now we're going to go over some verses in Mark and then in Acts showing examples of people praying in other tongues. Before we get to Acts, go to Mark, or we won't turn there, but go ahead and put it up on the screen. Mark 16, verse 14. Mark 16, 14. It says, later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And notice verse 17 says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. So Jesus spoke about this, said that those that believe in his name will speak with new tongues. Acts 1 verse 4. Go ahead and turn to Acts. This is where we're going to spend most of our time. Acts 1 verse 4. We're going to go through the Acts and just go through some. There's five examples, biblical examples we have of people receiving the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at those and look at some different aspects. Acts 1 verse 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So Jesus told them, these are the disciples, they were born again. This was after Jesus had gone to the cross, and right after these verses says he ascended. But he spoke to them and said, wait in Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me, for John truly baptized in water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. He told them to wait. This was an important thing that they needed. Verse 8 says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Acts 2, verse 1. Go down to Acts 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So notice, all these disciples, the Bible says that there was 120 of them. So it wasn't just Jesus' disciples. This included 120 disciples, also Mary, the mother of Jesus. They were all there with one accord. And verse 4 says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, they were all filled. They were all filled. Not one of them. It doesn't say, 101 of them were filled, but 19, it wasn't the will of God, or they just couldn't receive. It says they were all filled. All of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and what? Began to speak with other tongues. Now we're going to see this a number of times. This is the initial evidence of being filled with the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. That's biblically, we're going to see it. That is the initial evidence. Somebody says, I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, but I just don't speak with other tongues. Biblically, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the evidence, the outward evidence, the initial evidence is speaking in other tongues. Speaking in other tongues is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not speaking with tongues, but the speaking in other tongues goes with the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Acts 8:4. Actually, we'll go to verse 5. It says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. So Philip is going to preach in the city of Samaria. He's preaching Christ, preaching the gospel. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed, and there was great joy in that city. Now notice, there was great joy in that city. They heeded the thing spoken by Philip, it said. Acts 8:12, go down to verse 12. It says, but when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So these individuals believed Philip, believed the gospel, and they were baptized. So they were born again. It said that they received the word of God. And notice in verse 14, skip down to verse 14, it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. So notice, they were born again, but they were not baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is a separate experience. You do have the Holy Spirit. That's how you get born again. When we get born again, the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us. Every born again Christian has the Holy Spirit. But this is a separate experience. This is being filled with the Holy Spirit. The evidence of that is speaking with other tongues. We'll see this over and over. But notice, this is a separate experience. These people are already born again. Verse 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So notice this. They laid hands on them. They received the Holy Spirit. And so it doesn't say here that they spoke with other tongues. But it does say, verse 18, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. So he saw something. And we're going to see in other places it talks about them. Of the five, three of them specifically say they spoke with other tongues. The other two, it was inferred that they did, and we'll show you that. This is one of them. They laid hands on them, and they saw something. They didn't just lay hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit, and they said, how would they know they received the Holy Spirit? Simon saw something. And it's not a stretch that he saw and heard the same thing that are in the other accounts biblically, that they saw the same thing that other believers, the experience that they had, which is speaking in other tongues. And he said, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Well, he's seeing something. He wants something. There is an outward manifestation. It's not just something going on the inside. Acts 9. We're going to start in verse 10. It says, now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Actually, let's go back to verse 1. We'll read through to verse 10. It says, then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. Go ahead. And asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. So this is Saul. He is persecuting the church. Go ahead to the next verse, verse 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Then the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground. When his eyes were open, he saw no one, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much things he must suffer for my name's sake. Verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we see Paul's conversion on the road to Damascus, and we see here that Ananias came to pray for him. Can you go back to the beginning of verse 17? It said, and Ananias went his way and entered the house and laying his hands on him. So he laid his hands on him. That's the second time. So of the five accounts that we're reading, three times they laid their hands on them to receive the Holy Spirit. Twice they did not. But three of the five times they did. It said, he laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. So now here it does not, this is the other place where it's inferred that they spoke with other tongues, or Paul did, because it doesn't say here that he spoke with other tongues, but it does say in 1 Corinthians, which Paul wrote, that I speak with tongues more than you all. So we know before he wasn't speaking with tongues, and now afterwards he was, it's not a stretch that this is the point that when he received the Holy Spirit, he was speaking in tongues, because then later he said he spoke with tongues more than you all. So logically, that was the same evidence that the other accounts that we see in the other accounts. Now go over to Acts 10. We'll go to verse 44. Acts 10 is the account of Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, and he had an experience. He saw a vision, and Peter saw a vision at the same time and saw that he should go and pray or go and witness to Cornelius. Cornelius was a Gentile, and this was foreign to the early church at this time, that a Jewish or a Gentile person could be saved. But God, through this vision, showed Peter that that salvation was for the Gentiles as well. So he comes and Cornelius gathers all his house, and Peter is sharing the gospel with the house, with all his household. Verse 44, it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, so he's preaching the gospel to them, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, the Jewish people, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. So he didn't. Now, this instance, nobody laid hands on him. The Holy Spirit fell, and they just started speaking with other tongues. The power of God fell. Now, they got born again and then were filled with the Holy Spirit, just back to back. He was preaching the gospel, and we've seen other places where, and we'll see another one, where there was being born again, and then there was being filled with the Holy Spirit. Well, they believed. They got born again, because you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you're born again. But immediately, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues and magnified God. So here we see another account where they received the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with other tongues. Acts 19. Acts 19, verse 1, it says, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on him, so this is another instance where hands were laid on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. So we see another instance where the Holy Spirit came upon them, and then they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So these are five accounts in the early church, what we have biblically, that show specific instances of people receiving the Holy Spirit, receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we see that in three of the five, specifically, the Bible says that they spoke with other tongues right after they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The other two, it's inferred. Paul, he said, I speak with tongues more than you all. And then in the instance in Samaria, Simon, immediately when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, he saw something. Well, it's not a stretch logically to say that it was the same evidence that is in the other instances, that it was speaking with other tongues. Now I want you to notice that in three of the instances, they had hands laid on them to receive the Holy Spirit. And in two, the Holy Spirit just fell. That's the initial one in Acts 2 verse 4, where the Holy Spirit fell, and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then Cornelius' house, where the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they spoke with other tongues. So three of the times they had hands laid on them, two of them not. You don't have to have hands laid on you to receive the Holy Spirit, but it is biblical to receive that way. I want you to notice also that there's several places here. It never talks, it never says in any of these instances that the Holy Spirit spoke in tongues. It always says they spoke with tongues. Now, you don't have to turn back there, but I'll just read some. In Acts 2:4, it says, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues. In Acts 10:46, it says, for they heard them speak with other tongues and magnify God. In Acts 19:7 or 6, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke with tongues. Other places that we read earlier, 1 Corinthians, I'm just reading these to you. You don't have to try to write these down. You already have these written, and we don't have to put them on the screen. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he who speaks in a tongue, notice, he who speaks in a tongue, doesn't say the Holy Spirit was speaking in a tongue. It says, does not speak to men but to God, but for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks. So it's the person doing the speaking. In 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says, what is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit. I will also sing with understanding. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. 1 Corinthians 14:4 said, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. None of these verses says the Holy Spirit speaks with tongues, that he somehow takes a person over and he's doing the speaking. In every instance, it says the person is speaking. Now, we read in another place, it said that in 1 Corinthians 14:14, the Amplified, it says, my spirit by the Holy Spirit within me. The Holy Spirit is giving the utterance, but the person is yielding to it. What does yielding mean? It means to just give into. If you yield on the road, there's somebody, you're supposed to yield to somebody, that means you let them go. Well, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He gives utterance. He gives unction. But we have to yield to him. So it's not us, it's not the Holy Spirit somehow taking us over and having us, just making us speak with tongues. Thank God. Thank God. So this is not something that's optional, really, for a Christian. This is something that's standard equipment. It's a gift that has been given for us to take advantage, to build ourselves up, to take advantage, to pray out mysteries, to intercede for people. We don't know how to intercede. We don't know how to pray, but the Holy Spirit knows how to pray, and we yield to Him. And we saw over and over then in these verses how the early church received the Holy Spirit. Biblically, how it was poured out. Biblically, how people received it. And we saw that Jesus said, do not go and try to minister without it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord.